to be sharing, and I'm sharing from my book that I've written, chapter 5. And do you know that you go through things in life so that you can share a testimony? Amen. So today we're talking about faith. Faith is so relevant to our lives. Faith is probably the biggest foundational principle to be applied in your life after salvation and receiving the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Hebrews chapter 6, the writer of Hebrews tells you what the basic foundations of faith are, and that's repentance, right? It's faith in God. That's the second principle. That's what I'm saying. Faith is a game changer. Then it's baptisms. Then it's resurrection, and then it's laying on of hands and judgment. Okay, so those are your six principles. And the writer says you have to perfect those principles so that you can go on to perfection, right? He says that if you practice these things, you can go on to perfection. Amen. So the second foundation is faith in God. And I'm telling you, when you get this, your whole life is going to shift. So with regards to marriage, God wants to give us supernatural faith for marriage based on his promises for marriage. How do we get this assurance? Because what is faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is that substance based on? Well, let me give you an example. If I go and I want to buy a house, I might not have to see the house, but when I have that contract, that title deed in my name, that house belongs to Lucinda Davidoff. That title deed has some substance. Do you guys agree? That title deed has my name on, so it belongs to me. Whether I've seen that house, whether I've been to that house, is irrelevant because I now own that house. My name is on the title deed. Now with faith, God is saying to you, you need a few title deeds in your name. And if you have the title deed in your name, it's yours. Whether you've seen it yet, whether you feel like it belongs to you, is irrelevant. So we need a few promises regarding marriage so that we can start walking in victory. So I remember being married to Jared. The first year was amazing. It was so good. It was like honeymoon. I was like, wow, this is so cool. I don't know why I was so scared of it. It was really, really great. But then things started becoming a little bit hairy. It was like, oh, Lord, this is not as much fun as I thought it was going to be. And actually, I thought that we were not going to make it because we were fighting consistently. And it became actually like toxic. When I say toxic, I mean really toxic. And I didn't see a way through this. I was like, "This, we're not going to make it. We're just not going to do it, you know." And I really had to start. Well, first of all, like, you know, when you're in that situation, you think, well, okay, so what are the solutions? So what do we start thinking? Oh, let's go for counseling because that's what everybody does. They go for marriage counseling, right? And we did that and it was just like not a solution for us personally, to be honest, because as I said, we're super honest. Both of us are super honest and we were like, oh, yeah, I do have that problem and you have that problem. And we would own our problems, right? But it wasn't getting us to a place where we could actually move forward. And so I just started praying. I was like, Lord, I don't know, but I started feeling like a victim. You know, when you feel helpless and you're like, I'm in this mess. And it's not really my fault. It's all his fault, really, because he has a lot of issues, right? That's how I felt. And I felt helpless because I'm like, well, I can't do anything about it, right? And I felt like a victim. I felt helpless. So after the counseling, I'm thinking, okay, this is still not working. Now what? And then I was like, okay, I'm going to phone two older ladies, because the Bible says, let the older ladies teach the younger ladies, right? So I phoned two older ladies and I said, hey guys, this is hectic. You cannot believe this. Crying. This, right? And the one lady said to me, so what are you praying about? What are you praying for? What are you confessing over your marriage? I want you to go and write down every single promise, and I want you to start praying over your husband. And I started doing that. And as I started taking the promises for our marriage and writing my name in the title deed of my marriage, like saying, this marriage belongs to you, a marriage that is happy, a marriage that is fulfilling, a marriage that is purpose. Now I start speaking that over my marriage. I start speaking over my husband. Thank you, Father God, that he's a faithful husband. Thank you, Father God, that he is a provider. Thank you, Father God, that he's kind, that he's gentle. Everything, even if it wasn't, I would put that down as if it were. And I started praying those things over our marriage. And I started seeing Jared as different. And as I started seeing him as different, my actions and reactions to him were different. Because it wasn't just a profession of faith. I was possessing the marriage that I desired. So it can't just be a profession of faith without possession of that. So how do you possess that marriage? You have to believe in your heart. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You see, you can profess a lot of things, but when the going gets tough, if you don't believe it, you're going to act as if you haven't possessed it yet. But faith is the substance. It means I know that it's mine. And when the devil shows you how far you are from possessing that, you laugh at him because you're like, what are you talking about? I've got the title deed. This is my title deed. It belongs to me. A healthy marriage belongs to me. A successful marriage belongs to me. As it is in heaven, so it is on earth. That is what Jesus died for. And he wrote that title deed in my name. A healthy marriage, a successful marriage, a marriage that has purpose. And so even when the going got tough, I knew that I wasn't a victim anymore. I was part of the solution. And you know, when it comes to covenant, this is the amazing thing about covenant. You know who you are and you know whose you are. And guess what? You don't even need the other person to agree with you about what you're praying. You only need to stand in agreement with the promises, the title deed, and with God. And you can go. You can circumvent the third person. That's the absolute miracle of God's word. You don't even have to have the agreement of the other person. That's the power of the effects of prayer. That's why supernatural solutions to marriage are so contrary to what they teach you in counseling. Because it is something that you take, it's something that you possess, it's something, and then as you step into who you are, when you understand that you serve a covenant-keeping God, you can speak to the Goliath and say, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, to challenge my covenantal rights? As far as I know, I'm circumcised, and therefore my heart is circumcised, and therefore there's certain things that belong to me, and you cannot withhold them from me. No demon in hell can withhold from me a marriage that is prosperous, a marriage that is purposeful, a marriage that raises godly children, because I know my rights. It's based on covenant. It's not even a contract. It's a covenant. You see, a covenant has got to do with a relationship with God, who is faithful even when we are unfaithful, even when you've made mistakes in your marriage. And most of us have made mistakes in our marriage. We have to go and we say, thank you, Lord, that you are faithful even when we are unfaithful. You forgive. But we have to adjust. Life is a series of adjustments. The more you adjust towards God's word, the more you experience the prosperity in God's word. You see, God's word is set. He doesn't change for anybody. You have to adjust towards God's word. Some people want to be prayed for, laid hands on, prophesied over. No prophet is anointed enough to break God's word. If you're not going to be faithful to God's order and his ways of doing things, nobody can lay hands on you to get you in alignment. You have to, by your will, obey God's word. So if you continually disrespect your husband, and when I want a quick anointed prayer, it ain't happening. Because God's word stands. You have to adjust. You have to seek out the promises, God's way of doing things. And even if it doesn't make sense to submit to a man that you don't respect, you have to change your heart and say, Lord, I respect him by faith. And as you change, God honors your obedience to God, to God. And your trust isn't even in man. Your trust is in God. It's like, I don't trust in you. So if you fail, husband, or if you fail, wife, my faith isn't in you. My faith is in God. My faith is in God. He is a covenant-keeping God. When you're praying for your children, you are praying to a covenant-keeping God. You are fasting about their salvation. You are praying to a covenant-keeping God. That's why you'll see Gideon comes to God and he says, oh, Lord, who am I? I'm but the least in my family. God doesn't say, oh, but it's okay that you feel that way. He says to him, you mighty man of valor, I am with you. You see, he doesn't coddle our insecurities. He doesn't coddle our, Moses says, I cannot speak. God doesn't coddle us and say, oh, well, you know, you really are a great speaker, Moses. He doesn't say that. No, I will be with you. It's not about you. If I am with you, you're going to be okay. God, you want God to say, oh, you know what? It's okay. You know, you actually do have a great... Well, no, he's saying, I am with you. I'm giving you the ability. I'm giving you the strength to endure. We want the problems to go away like this, right? We want to wake up and everybody has to be changed. No, God says, I am going to be with you. I am going to give you the endurance. I'm going to give you the words to say. I'm going to give you the wisdom to answer. I'm going to give you the perseverance to be the woman of God that I've called you to be. I'm going to give you the strength to pray the prayers that I have put in you to pray. You see, we're waiting for God to do something. He's waiting for us to do something. We're waiting for God to answer our prayers, and he's saying, I've answered your prayers. I died 2,000 years ago. I've done what I've had to do. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you waking up? Are you searching the title deeds of Scripture saying, what belongs to me? What belongs to my marriage? What belongs to my children? I'm writing it down. I'm reminding God. I'm waking up early. Thank you, Lord, that you have promised me a good marriage. You have promised us wealth. You have promised us strategies to get wealth. You have promised us a life of overflow. Father God, you have promised us protection. You have promised us that you will rebuke the devourer. For our sake, we will not have a lack in our family. We will not have strife in our family. God says, I've done it all. What are you doing? We want God. Oh, the Lord isn't answering my prayer, Pastor. No, he's answered your prayer. But you need to keep on with your profession of faith, and then you've got to possess your faith. Possessing your faith has got to do with action. You know, a lot of us want to profess, but possessing it, you walk like you do it. You own it, and you own it. Because in faith, you've already obtained the promises of God. somebody that possesses the promises of God. You can see it in the way they look, in the way they act, in the way they speak, in the way they relate to people. They're just victorious. They're victorious. They never under the circumstances. They never carrying a heavy load. Oh, I've got so much stress because I've got. What are you stressing about? There's nothing to stress about. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. We walk in victory. We fight the battle from a place of victory. Ephesians chapter 6 is about the armor of God. He says, "I therefore stand." You've won. I've already won the victory. Now stand and enforce that victory. He doesn't say go and fight for victory. He says stand and enforce the victory that you already have. In our marriages, we already have the victory. We are the model of what marriages should look like. Not that we always get it right. Not that we don't fight. No, but we always go back to the weapons of our warfare, the supernatural strategies. And every marriage is different. So I'm not going to be able to tell you exactly the prayers that you have to pray in your marriage because I didn't come into your marriage with what you came into your marriage. We all have different dynamics. We have different personality types. So we're in our marriage is very confrontational. Your marriage might be very like somebody is so like they don't say a word. Like if they're upset, they kind of, oh, nothing's wrong. Nothing. And they sulk. We don't sulk. We just tell it exactly how it is. And we're not very kind about it, right? But some people sulk. Oh, no, nothing is wrong. Well, nothing, you know. Like they shrink back or they don't speak up or they just, you know, they punish one another. You know, you get those people. They punish you by sulking or ignoring you or whatever, right? Yeah. Punishment as if you're a child. But instead of just saying, hey, this is what's right, this is wrong. So God wants us to have faith for marriage. And when you understand faith, it will revolutionize everything in your life, everything, especially your marriage. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 1 John 5 verse 4 says this, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Everyone. Who? Everyone. Some of us? Everyone who has been born of God. Have you been born of God? Has overcome the world. Whatever you're struggling with, you have already overcome because you're born of God. Is God sitting in heaven? Is he confused as to what the solution is? No. So if you're born of God, is there any area of your life where you don't overcome? No, you've already overcome. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. Faith is a game changer. It is a game changer. Galatians 3:13-14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we have received the blessing of Abraham because we have been grafted in to the family. Hebrews 6 verse 12 says this, we do not want you to become lazy. Say, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promises of God. Say faith and patience. So you have certain promises relating to your life, but you need to have faith and patience. Another word is endurance. 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 I'll tell you something. While you are waiting, waiting is not passive. You want to tell your neighbor, waiting is not passive. It's active. If you aren't changing in the waiting period, there's something wrong with your faith. While you're waiting, you're growing your faith muscles. Have you gone to the gym? I'm waiting. But I'm not passive. I'm active. I'm actively professing. I'm actively possessing. I'm actively growing. I'm actively speaking to myself. I'm actively speaking to Goliath. I'm actively possessing. And when it manifests, I am not surprised because I've already possessed. In the waiting period, I am being changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. It says, do not become lazy, but imitate. Go read what the other disciples did when they were persecuted. They went and they prayed, they fasted, they prayed in the Spirit. Some of them danced. Sometimes you have to dance in the waiting period when you feel like you're persecuted, when you feel like your marriage isn't what it should be. You put on that music and you start praying and dancing until every depressed spirit falls off you and you're like, oh, I've got a brilliant marriage. I've got a phenomenal marriage. Sometimes we have to do those kind of things, laugh in the Spirit until you feel it lift, and then you're like, you can treat your husband and your wife amazing, even if they're miserable. Because every depressed spirit is off of you, and you can see them. You can see them for who they are, the greatness within them. You can see the seeds of greatness within them. You're not seeing the shells of depression. You're seeing the greatness within them, and you can prophesy over them. Anybody can see somebody's depression, but it takes a person of faith to see greatness in people. When you get married, you're called to call out the greatness in your spouse. That's what spouses do. They see greatness within their spouse and they call it out. It's easy to see the flaws. You're not amazing because you can see somebody's flaws. You think you're such a great spouse because you can tell them exactly what's wrong with them. But God's called you to see their greatness and to prophesy over them and to encourage them and to lift them up and to hug them when they're unlovable and to kiss them when they're unlovable and to be there for them when they're unlovable. Amen? That's what godly spouses do. Proverbs 31 says that the godly woman praises her husband. She praises him. Yeah, and they need that. They need it. And God's word says that the godly husband loves his wife like like Christ loved the church and laid down his life. That love loves her when she's not lovable, when she's nagging you. Right? Loves her if she hasn't made you food that night. Faith. I serve a covenant-keeping God. I will receive my rewards when they are due. There will be no delay. That's what a covenant. I will receive my rewards. There will not be a delay in me receiving my rewards in my marriage. I serve a covenant-keeping God. We will see our rewards. There will be no delay. I remember when Jared and I were praying for a house, we moved to the U.S. and our money started running out very quickly because the dollar to the rand, oh my goodness. And I remember stressing out. I was like, what are we going to do? We don't have any money in the bank. And I was putting pressure on Jared to get onto television because we were in television in South Africa. So I thought that's our source. We have to get onto TV and we have to, you know. And God said to me, is television your source or am I your source? I said, sorry, Jared. I'm so sorry. Cancel everything. You don't have to do that. God's our source. And we started praying together. And God gave us a financial breakthrough. He just, the moment we shifted, I shifted, right? No pressure on my husband. But knowing that God is my source, my husband is not our source. The moment you start putting pressure on your husband, there's pressure on the marriage. But you see, when I started, God's our source. Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, the second principle, first it's repentance, and second is faith. It doesn't just say faith. It actually says faith in God. Faith in God, not just faith. The world teaches us to have positive thoughts. But they don't tell you to have faith in God. They don't have a covenant-keeping God. That's why they don't grasp the supernatural. They don't grasp God's order. But we grasp God's order. Because the moment Sarah said to Abraham, Lord, you are Lord, she called him Lord, the moment she got her miracle, she adhered to God's order. When we adhere to God's order, we don't understand it. But guess what? Because we trust God. We trust God. We trust God. Not our husbands. Not our wives. We trust God because of his order. We obey his word. His word's not going to change for anybody. By faith, he brings blessing. He brings blessing. And so if there's a misalignment anywhere, we have to say, Lord, where did I miss? Something's missing. And we have to search the scriptures. We can pray in the spirit. We can say, Lord, will you show me? And that's what revelation is. He'll show you areas in your marriage where you're missing it, where you're not in obedience to God's word. And then as you shift your side of it, God's going to bring the other side. You see, we're wanting to change the other person. When we start praying, guess what? God starts showing us. I remember saying, Lord, you know, Jared needs a lot of help, Lord. And when I started praying, the Lord showed me like a lot of things. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay, maybe a lot of the times I'm starting things, right? And the Lord started revealing things to me and I had to adjust. And the moment I started adjusting, strangely enough, things just started calming down. Things just started settling. There was peace in our house. Amen? An adjustment. Faith is the game changer. I will receive my rewards when they are due and they will not be delayed. A covenant-keeping God. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. We want to meditate on everything that's wrong, right? We want to meditate on everything's wrong. And God says, no, shift. Just meditate on all the good things and you'll feel so much better about your marriage, right? Oh, Lord, I just thank you that Jared's a good dad. He loves his kids. Thank you, Lord, that he helps me make food. Thank you, Lord, that he takes out the trash. Thank you, Father God, that he is a provider. Thank you, Father God, that he's discipling the kids. Thank you, Father. When you start making that, you're like, oh, wow, I don't think there were so many good things about him. Now that I realize it, wow. You just shift in your focus. You'll be like, oh, wow, sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me for my ingratitude. Proverbs 18 verse 1 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So when you speak about your husband or your wife to people, tell them how amazing your spouse is. Make it a habit. And you'll see everything shift. So in my book, I have Confessions of a Wife, Confessions of a Husband, and General Confessions Over the Marriage. And I want us to look at those. If you have your books, you can do them at home, also pray over them. But the Confessions of a Wife about herself: thank you, Lord, that I respect Jared at all times, even when he gets it wrong. Not only in action. You know, some women are very good at keeping quiet, but in their hearts, they're like, what an idiot. So they don't even have to say it, but in their hearts and in their eyes are like, whatever. God wants us to be respectful in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that I encourage Jared, according to Proverbs 31, and understand his thought process. We need to seek to understand our husbands. Help me to want to know him and understand him. Help me to support him better. Have you ever heard of that book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, right? When Esther went in to meet the king, the Bible tells us that she asked the king's assistant, what does the king like? The other girls were like, oh, this is the fashion. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to wear this, and I'm going to put on this perfume, and I'm going to, because I think that's really what's in, right? Well, Esther didn't do that. She said, what does he like? And she said, prepare for me everything that he likes. Women, sometimes we need to find out, what does our husband like, right? And adjust to what he likes. Because who do we want to please? We don't want to please any other man but our husband. We don't want to get dressed for any other man except for our husband. We don't want to be attractive to other men. We want to be attractive to our husbands. Amen? That's how God created us. The Bible says that we are to please our husbands. And this is what Esther did. She did everything to be pleasing to the king. And that's a type of Jesus and the church. We should want to know, Lord, what do you love and what do you hate? As men, we need to find out, God, what do you love? What do you hate? And then adjust to what God loves and what God hates. Amen? It's a type of Christ, the church and the bride. We shouldn't worry about what people say. Oh, yeah, it's okay. It's okay if you drink. Well, Lord, what do you think? Holy Spirit, what do you think? I don't care what other people, what their boundaries are, or what other churches, or what do you want of me, Lord? I don't care what other people's standards are. Lord, what does your word say? Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I don't care what other people's standards are about dating. Lord, what do you say about purity? Don't even go there. Don't even put yourself in that temptation. What pleases the king? Amen. It's the same in marriage. What pleases my husband? How does he think? I always tell Jared, like, this is how normal people think and this is how you think. Because if you had to do like a survey, most people would think this way. Right? Thank you, Lord, that I serve Jared and I take care of his needs. Thank you, Lord, that I do all the above as unto you in service to you. See, I'm serving God. Not, I am serving my husband, but really I'm serving God by serving my husband. That really pleases the Lord. Confessions of a husband. Thank you, Lord, that I'm loving and kind to my wife, even when she is wrong. Thank you, Lord, that I revere you as Lord and place you first in my life. Thank you, Lord, that I'm filled with integrity and do what is right in your sight towards my wife. Thank you, Lord, that I leave my family and cleave to my wife and love her just like Christ loves the church and laid his life down for her. That no one but you will become before my wife. Stir up my love for my wife. Thank you, Lord, that I do all of this as service unto you and not in response to my wife's behavior, but in spite of her behavior. Knowing that by faith, my wife is already all that you have called her to be. Huh? She's already all that you called her to be by faith. By faith. I believe it and I receive it in Jesus' name. Then there's general confessions over your marriage. You guys can go through that. Do you guys have your books yet this evening? No? Well, I'm just going to give us a little bit of opportunity. We can put on some background music there. And I just want us to, as couples, just pray over some confessions over one another. And I just want us to commit to that. And then for the single people, people who don't have their spouses here, let's just, as we close in prayer, just pray some confessions over your wife, over your husband. And if you're single, pray over your future husband and over your future wife. Amen. That's what faith is. It's saying, Lord, you've got somebody for me. You have somebody for me. God has somebody for you if you're single. Amen. Call it in. Call it in. I mean, I know some women that have had 3 or 4 husbands. The husband dies, they get another husband. The husband dies, they get another husband. I'm telling you, these women have faith. They just get husbands. And they get godly husbands. Right? God is able to provide. I know Pastor Paula White's testimony is amazing. How she believed for her husband. It's just powerful. And she was reading a book called Calling in a Husband. She had faith. The enemy came and he wanted to destroy her ministry, her life. But she was upright and she believed. And God redeemed her very sad situation. God redeemed. Even if people judge you, God will redeem if your heart is right and your profession is right. God doesn't care what people think about your past. You might have a past. God doesn't care about a past that's under the blood. But forever who has faith, they can appropriate a spouse in Jesus' name. But you have to believe. You have to believe. You have to believe. No room for doubt. James chapter 1 says, if you doubt, don't think that you're going to receive it. You won't. You have to have faith. You have to have substance. That promise must have a title deed in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, let's stand. Father, I thank you for faith, faith for marriage, faith for spouses, faith to step into possessing the marriage that you have for us, a godly marriage, a marriage that is in order. Lord, you have created marriage and you want order in marriage, Lord God. You are not pleased with disorderly conduct, Lord God. So I thank you, Father God, that our marriages are in order. They have order, they have respect, they have love, they have honor, Lord God. And I just praise you and bless you for supernatural strategies right now. For those that are single, you give them supernatural strategies to call in a spouse in Jesus' name. You give them faith for a spouse, Lord God. I pray for those that are in rocky marriages. I thank you, Father God, that as they pray over their spouse, that you just bring a shift, Lord God. You just bring a shift. Holy Spirit just is ushered into that marriage in Jesus' name. I thank you for an agreement with your word. I thank you for an agreement, Lord God, with a covenant that you have placed, Lord God, that you said, let no man put this asunder, Lord, that we will value marriage. It's holy. It is not common. Thank you, Father God, that we value marriage in Jesus' name, that we are grateful for the spouses that we have, that we're not looking for other spouses or a way out. That is not godly, Lord God. You have called us to love our spouses, to value them, Lord God, to pursue them, to cover them, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for changing our hearts, Lord God. You take out hardness of heart in the name of Jesus. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.